Welcome again to the Catchy Lefty podcast. We are so glad that you decided to join us. We're going to be talking about Easter 1, the Sunday of Easter. That's this year, it's April 5th, and it's going to be a pretty fun day, of course. It's why we celebrate, it's why we're Christians. So we're going to talk about a little bit about that today and how we're going to be preaching it. My name is Jonathan Spring. I'm the pastor at Catalyst Church, arts and student pastor at Catalyst Church in Rowlett, Texas. And I'm joined today by a couple of our friends at Catchy Lefty. First off, Miss Jen Chapman. Jen, introduce yourself.
I'm the pastor of Nexus Community Church of the Nazarene in Dallas, Texas.
Great. And we're also joined by Adam Stevens. Adam,
how are you doing? Great. My name's Adam. I am the pastor at New Hope Community Church in Boardman, Ohio. Glad to be here.
Awesome. Well, we're it's that time of year again. We're getting into the Easter thing. Easter is one of those seasons that comes every year. Well, there's Sundays that comes every year. Sometimes it can be difficult to know how to preach it uniquely every year, but the lectionary gives us some options here. This year we've been following around with Mark, and so we're approaching for the Easter text is Mark 16, 1 through 8. Adam, share a little bit about this passage and kind of how it hits you.
Yeah, the interesting thing about, I think, Mark as an Easter story, I mean, everyone knows the resurrection. Like you said, Jonathan, it's one of the hard things about preaching on Easter because it's a story that's so familiar. What I like about Mark, and I think what really helps us out for this series, is that you have some women going to the tomb, which you do have in some of the other gospel accounts. And then when they get there, of course, they're looking for Jesus and he's not there. And they're told to go and tell his disciples and tell Peter that Jesus is going on ahead to Galilee. And the great thing about Mark is when it cuts off, at least in this lectionary part, in verse 8, it finishes just with women trembling and bewildered. They're terrified. And so they leave the tomb. It says they say nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And we don't often think about the resurrection sort of striking fear. We usually come to Easter Sunday as it being a hopeful sort of completion of something. But this really sets us up for what is to come, what is to follow the resurrection. And the fact that they're sort of coming out of the resurrection with this great fear that they have is going to be great for this series where we're talking about going there and what's going to happen next, because there are a lot of things that they're going to get to. And going to have to get to that we've actually seen throughout the history of the church, where the church has gone and where God has taken us. And I think we see that in the Acts passage that's coming up here.
Yeah, and Adam already alluded to it, but with the new season, we're also starting a new series. The idea being, don't go there, but the don't is crossed out. And so it's really the series called Go There. But it's also the idea that the disciples that have followed the religious system, the Jewish religious system, for so long, because of what Jesus has done in the resurrection, they're now called to go do things that they've been, not allowed to do their entire religious experience. And so it's a big step. It's difficult for them. And we're going to see over the course of these weeks leading up to Pentecost that they struggle with what it means to follow Jesus when they have all of this history in the background. Jen, how does that sit with you, and how do you feel like that the Mark passage sets that up? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, like Stephen was saying, how in the Mark passage it kind of ends with this fear and trembling, and then we get to the Acts passage where all of a sudden we find Peter just boldly proclaiming this gospel truth, this story about Jesus' life, death, and most importantly, of course, his resurrection. And basically the message is that this is for everyone, that it's for every nation, for anybody who fears God and does what is right. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And so this this kind of ties in with that series theme that basically these disciples have been given this message now, and they're supposed to take it to everyone. They're kind of crossing all the borders and lines that maybe before they weren't going to cross, because now this message is for everybody, and so they have to proclaim it everywhere.
Yeah, how does that It's interesting because it's such an ancient text. It's this this thing that we sometimes can find distance from it, but it feels very close to home. Like there's places where I've grown up in my religious upbringing in the Church of the Nazarene, where there's places that I was told not to go, and places to stay away from, people to stay away from, thoughts to, you know, things to stay away from. But we find in Jesus that he actually frees us from that. Paul talks about it a little bit later in some of his writings. But it seems very fitting for us. I think a lot of people come to church and they express to tell them to stop doing things. And this series, it seems like we're actually going to be saying, go those places. Go to those places and you can be able to share the story of Christ just by living your life in them.
Yeah, I think that's helpful, Jonathan. I mean, anytime we come to Easter, I mean, one of the obvious themes about Easter is that it's life. I mean, it's Jesus coming from death to life, and we see that in the Mark passage that is obvious, that we sort of know the answer to the empty tomb, where is he? But then the fact that it calls us to this movement where we, you know, we respond in, I guess what I would say would be, what can sometimes be really difficult ways. It means sort of crossing boundaries, getting out of the comfort zone, those sorts of things. I mean, that's exactly what we see Peter doing, and God is sort of calling Peter to do that when this voice tells him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. It's calling him to do something that he did not expect. And, you know, a little ironically, the kill and eat is a kind of a nice dichotomy between the life of the resurrection. But nonetheless, it was more about going to those people, going to the Gentiles, not just staying in his small sort of Jewish world, but extending that gospel outwards. And I think that's an easy thing to play up on an Easter when we're talking about life.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you feel like these passages fit pretty nice together? Peter's not in Mark because of fear. And then in Acts, he has this power that he has to be able to proclaim this story and to leave his old ways and step into these new ways. What are some things that we can kind of, using this text, what are some things that you may be asking of your congregation? Maybe even given that many of them are going to be like, either first-time guests or people that only come on certain Sundays, what are some ways that we can ask them to join this story that is meaningful, with using these texts?
I mean, I think one of the great things, especially when you're talking about people who might be coming to church for the first time, let's say in a year, or maybe the first time since Christmas, is I think we can, in our preaching, we can surprise people because a lot of people think that church is all about who's in and who's out. And most people maybe coming on Easter are going to feel like they're on the out, on the outside. And the obvious thing here is that Jesus is saying, no, everyone's on the inside. And this is available to all people. And so I like to, if I do that, I like to go into maybe in Acts, for instance, into Peter's mind, where what he was thinking, what he was feeling, and particularly related to Cornelius, to the Gentiles, that sort of separation that would have existed there, and then how God calls him out of that. And that's a really easy thing for us to then say, hey, wait, Christianity isn't maybe what you thought that it was. Maybe you've always seen it as who's inside the circle, who's outside the circle. But Jesus was opening this up to all people. And we see him doing that for Peter. And so is just for the person sitting in the pew, maybe for that first time in a year, that this is for you, that this isn't, you're not on the outside. You're welcome on in.
Yeah.
Yeah. My particular congregation, we are ministering to a lot of folks who are, maybe they've been raised in the church to some degree, but they're kind of newly back to an active faith, kind of becoming now an active part of the church. Their children are being baptized, that sort of thing. And what I'm really trying to do right now is to help them to see that that God has called them to be part of this proclaiming team that is the church, this army of God that is going and doing God's redemptive work in the world. And I think that many of these particular folks have been kind of receiving the gospel as they've kind of grown up, you know, going to maybe vacation Bible schools or having the church minister to them and to their physical needs and that sort of thing, being kind of more of an impoverished community. But what I really want them to see here on Easter and throughout the season is that they are called to go, to be the part of the people who go to these places. And so not only is the message for them, but the call is for them to rise up and be the people of God.
Yeah, Jen, I really like that. You know, I'll just respond to that. I mean, as you know, we're all pastors here. And so that's one of the hardest things, I think, to get across to people, that they're the goers and we're kind of all in it together. And that's kind of how we view things here as well, here in Ohio at New Hope. You know, we're really concerned about the person who has maybe some experience with church, but maybe more likely a negative experience. And so people who are either unchurched or dechurched, or either have some sort of some difficulty that they've come from inside the church, or maybe just some serious doubts and some serious questions. And so anything we can do to sort of get on the same page, usually when I preach and the way we do our music and the way we do everything that we do, is sort of geared towards that person who has maybe a lot of doubts and uncertainties. And so we want to kind of come to them at their level and sort of express our mutual shared difficulties and doubts and uncertainties. And so we do that. And so one of the, again, the great things to point out, I think, in this passage is that, you know, the earliest disciples, I mean, Peter, we think of him as St. Peter, like the pearly gates guy. And here he was totally off even after the resurrection. So just the opportunity to point that out, that he even then didn't get what exactly God was up to. And so that kind of puts us all on the same page, that we're all living these sorts of difficulties. And that kind of helps us move forward to hopefully move people from a situation where they're unchurched or dechurched into a situation where they come to know God in a new kind of life-giving way. And that's really what we're after.
Yeah, I think it's important. I think you're always doing something right when you've got people that have not been in church for a long time, that come into a gathering and they're like surprised by what they saw or what they experienced. Because they came in expecting, like you said, Adam, they came in expecting something. They came in expecting to be bored. They came in expecting to be told that they're not good enough, and to be told like they're outside. And then we give this the good news of the gospel, like we've been saying the whole time, is no, you're on the inside. Like Christ died for you as well, and he wants you to be a part of this family. So you're not on the outside. So anytime we try to surprise them with something that would be engaging to those that are outside the church and don't come to church on a regular basis. One of the things we're doing for Easter at Catalyst is we're actually going to bring in a rapper that's going to rap through some of our worship songs. We usually do an opening cover song anyway, so we'll find one that has a rap in it, and he'll do that. But it's all about setting up that party atmosphere. We want it to be the biggest party of the year, because it's the resurrection is worth celebrating, and celebrating in a big way. And so that's one of the ideas of the day for us is this big party, but also the idea that it's going to be difficult when we get into the sermon area, because it's joyous, but there's also this sense that the call of Christ, the call of the resurrection and what God has promised is not always easy. It's good and everybody's invited, but it's not always easy. So we see that in Jesus, in the way that he brought about a Good Friday. We thought that God had failed, or that Jesus had failed. The disciples thought that, and then on Easter Sunday they see that he didn't. One of the other things that we're doing is we're also doing baptisms on Easter Sunday. You guys, I know, Jim, you mentioned a little bit that you used to do baptisms on Easter Sunday. When do you guys normally do your baptisms?
So in the past 3 years, we've done baptisms on Easter Sunday. But this year, we're going to try something different. We're going to try to push the baptisms to the second Sunday of Easter, because I've really been trying to emphasize over the last few years this kind of great celebration of Easter, the full 50 days. And so I say this to my people, you know, we have to keep celebrating. We have to extend the celebration. But then we do every single thing on Easter Sunday. We cram it all in there. So I'm trying to extend the celebration by spreading it out a little bit by baptism on the second Sunday of Easter, and then also kind of like a big feast a few Sundays in to extend the celebration.
Yeah, that sounds good. We don't have any baptisms planned for this Easter, and that's primarily because Easter around here is like 20 degrees still. So we don't want to get dunked when that's the case. No, I'm just kidding. But we kind of do it based on who our people are and where they are in their journey. And so we sort of tailor fit the baptisms to when people come to faith, or we do infant baptisms as well. And so if someone is interested in that, then that's how we kind of tailor it and make it as people are moving along their journey. We try to meet them where they are.
Yeah. The 2 years ago, we started doing baptisms around Easter. I think we did it the second Sunday of Easter. So kind of like what you're doing, Jen. And then last year we actually saved it for Pentecost Sunday. Just because it felt fitting for the celebration, for that celebration to be done at Pentecost. And so, like you said, Jen, it's hard to know, like, cause you want to get at that idea of this isn't just a one day celebration. And so, you know, for those that are listening, like be thinking, how can we continue to celebrate throughout the Easter season, not just throw it all on Easter Sunday? I think that's a good point to make, Jen. Well, that's all the time we have. We're so thankful that you listened to our podcast. Real quick, Jen, where can people find you online?
The best place to find me is on our Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/NexusDallas.
Okay, great. And Adam, how about you, buddy?
Yeah, our church website, we do a podcast of sermons there and several other things. So it is newhopejourney.org.
Awesome. And you can find all of our stuff via catrow.org or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/catalystroulette. And also, please don't forget to check out our website at catchylecty.com. We're making some updates to it. And we're really, really excited. And if you are planning on joining us for this Easter series, the series graphics will be up to download very shortly. So be sure to check that out. Again, thanks so much for joining us, and may the Lord be with you.